Good morning, everyone. There's still not a lot of snow out. In fact, there's hardly any snow out there right now. It's very unusual for us at this time of year, but I'll take it. Through my life, I have been faced with several situations where, because I ran and owned businesses and managed an engineering department, and you know, you have people that depend on your decisions. And it was an awesome feeling. There were times when you'd go home and you'd say, at one particular company, we had like 350 people, and they're your responsibility. And they raise a family, they buy homes, they buy vehicles, you know, and they depend on you to make the right decisions. And the only way that you're able to really do that correctly is to, number one, have education in what you're trying to teach, and number two, have experience. Paul had education. Paul had experience. Believe me, we just went through Paul's experiences. And I look back at the life of Paul, and I want to give Paul that, I want to be able to look at Paul and say, wow, what happened to Paul that made this all take place? And every time I think about that, I go back to when Paul was on his horse and he hated Christians. He was an evil, 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 how many times, man. And God said, Paul, and he dropped to the ground, was blinded, and God said what to him? Why do you persecute me, Saul? That was before he was Paul. Would that make an effect on your life? You bet. Who better do we have other than Christ as an example to be able to look at what he teaches and say, wow, I need to listen to this. I need to understand this, because that in itself is going to give me the ability to be successful in my walk with Jesus Christ. Paul has a big job talking to the Timothys, the Tituses. I mean, he wrote several letters, all in the form of instruction and guidance. We think of this letter, 1 Timothy 5, from Paul to Timothy as an instruction of guidance on how to lead and manage the church of believers. And that is exactly what it is. Paul's spiritual wisdom is a very valuable benefit for Timothy. But as we look at and consider this teaching, we also see that these instructions will also benefit every believer. Each one of us. Even if you aren't up here teaching, even if you aren't in leadership roles, as a believer, Paul's words to Timothy are so valuable for each of us to be able to understand the items that he covers here in chapter 5. And I'll boil it down quite simply. How should you treat people? How should you treat people? Several topics covered, including attitude, treatment of people each other, treatment of church leadership, even instruction on physical health. This is about the body of believers or the church, and provides the instruction of how to be effective in the world that we live in. And I am going to take the time to read the scriptures, because these are really, they're pretty cool. But I want to read this one first. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify who? Your Father, which is in heaven. Why do we need to listen to Paul and live that life? Because we want to bring glory. We should want to bring glory to God, the Father, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 5:1-2. Do not rebuke an older man harshly. And I will remind you, I am probably one of the oldest ones in here, so. But don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. Now, older men, there's verses in the Bible that I didn't want to write it all down here, but it talks about gray hair. I've got gray hair. Randy doesn't have gray hair, so, you know, it's pretty basic for him. But gray hair is a sign of, according to Scripture, God, should be wisdom. You're loaded. I mean, you know, but wisdom, why is that? What does it take to get gray hair usually? Old age. In old age, you've been there. How many times have you heard somebody say, I've been there? I know. Well, hopefully we have been there as an older person, and we can say with honesty, I've been in that situation, and this is what took place, and this is how I handled it, and it was wrong. So I learned to handle a little different. Should we listen to those people? Yeah, probably. And when it comes time to rebuke an older person, can I be wrong? Can I do things that aren't right? We're all sinners. We're all prideful. And Terry Jo would admit that she thinks I'm perfect. But, you know, I don't do everything right. But Timothy, on the other hand, was a young man. He was young. He was not as experienced as the older men were. And older doesn't necessarily mean wiser. So Paul had to give him a charge. Listen with respect and evaluate the situation before responding in respect, reason, and love. Don't use harsh rebuke. You ever try to get a point across and do they listen? Not normally. They turn you off at the first sound out of your mouth. So be respectful. Go up to that person and say, you're an old man. No. I want you to know that I'm here with respect for who you are, the life that you've lived. And I've got some things that I would like to speak with you about. Timothy had a big charge ahead of him. Wow, these were not easy things for a young man to handle. So he needed to listen to Paul's guidance. Younger men, this is a follow-up of the previous statement. Treat them as you would your brother, partner, or a friend, with respect. Now, there are families that I know of that don't respect each other, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about, if you truly are my brother, I mean my blood brother, I have love for you just because you're my brother. And I respect you for it. And normally we treat our family members with respect. That's usually the norm. And that's what he's talking about. Older women. again, respect as a mother. Older, they're older, but respect them. Respect them. And I'm going to use this word several times, respect, because there are times when we can come across not respecting other people. And that's at our own detriment, because no matter who a person is, even if they have ideas that aren't similar to ours, and I'm not talking about if you get into political discussions and all this other stuff, but about life, respect. Give them respect. Don't say, I'm not even going to listen to what you have to say, or I reject everything you say. But give them the respect of listening and hearing, thinking through the response, but always, always, just like Paul is teaching Timothy, your response needs to be from God in love and respect. Young women, this is a little bit different because we live, especially in this time, but and it should be today, but it's not so much so. Younger women were today, and I'm just going to say this, everybody knows it. You see it all the time on television or advertisements. Young women are victims of everybody looks at them as a sexual item. And he's telling Timothy, listen, they're younger. Treat them like a sister. You would never look at your sister as a sexual item. That's why he used that term. And he said, be treating her correctly. Treated as sisters, especially in respect for physical relations, conduct always pure and above reproach. Don't ever let anybody, when you're working with younger women, don't ever let anybody ever be able to say, I saw what you did. You did the wrong thing. You were coming on to this woman. One person that I always really admired was Billy Graham. Billy Graham, as great a preacher and speaker as he is, he never had a woman in his office alone. Never happened. He said, I won't do it. He says, I'm a human being and I can be tempted. But not just that, other people can talk. And that can help destroy me. And Satan knows how to do that. Be above reproach and always have respect. Verses 3-8. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really, I like the word really, really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I wrote something here, the very first statement. These instructions were written way before social assistance systems ever existed. At that time, for a woman who was a widow, no husband, and not in the church, no husband meant no support. Even older children didn't provide very much for the elderly widow. And I think of that and I say, that's a shame. But who is it that provides us with the love and acceptance to help people? God. When Jesus or God lives in us, we have a different attitude toward people. We show love. We show concern. We show respect. And when that happens and you have someone in your family that, a mother or an aunt or whatever, they've lost their husband and they have no form of income. Today's society, it's so different because of social service. And that has taken a lot away from us as believers and the church as responsibility, but Paul covers that. It's amazing how Paul kind of knew that was going to happen because it was happening then. Some widows didn't have any support. And if they're part of the body of believers, Paul says to Timothy, they need help. And it's our responsibility as a church to help them. But there are also other things that are prerequisites. This is talking of more than just encouragement. It is referring to financial support. A widow in the church with children or family with the ability to assist her, then it is the duty of those children to help, to give them the help and the support. The widow Paul is talking about is one that is totally left alone, no children or relatives. For widows that are living a life contrary to God's word, though, or worldly lives, it puts them outside the assistance qualification. It almost sounds like Paul's being a little bit mean. You know, he's being what he should be. He's instructing Timothy because I didn't know Timothy, but Timothy was a person of love. He had God's love in him, but he loved other people. It's very reflective in what he wrote. But when you look at a young man like Timothy and consider that he's going to be leading older people, widows, children, he needs to set the example. How does a young man set an example? He follows God's word. And he's following Paul's teachings. That's why Paul's teaching him. Follow my example. There are needs that are going to come up in your group, in your congregation, in your body of believers. And this is how you need to meet them. But if there's a woman among them that is not living according to the way we're supposed to live, according to God's word, and she's out playing around, doing things she shouldn't be doing, personal gratification. Let's just use that term. They're out for personal gratification. Now, as a believer, that's how I live, right? Personal gratification. No. What's my desire? Is it personal gratification or is it to help others? And why would God put that in us to want to help other people? Because they're lost. They're sinners and they need Jesus. And if we go about this world treating people like, they're never going to hear the word. They're never going to hear the story of Jesus. So treat them with respect. First Timothy 5, 9 through 10. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. These are specific qualifications that he's using. And does it mean that, may I use you as an example? You're a widow. Paul is a widow. Do you wash our feet every week? Mm-hmm. No. So should she be eliminated from this list? No. This, Paul gives these specific qualifications as examples of how a godly woman would live. She's not afraid to do that. She doesn't do it all the time, but she's willing to do it. She's willing to do what God said she should do. And she lives it. You see it in her life. I see so many people that live a life that's contrary to God's word, and then they want help. I'm like, then first of all, I want you to find Jesus, and I want you to do what he says. Because what's the old adage? If I give you money, and you're out doing drugs and drinking and doing all these bad things, it's like putting money down a rat hole. They're just going to shred it up and turn it into a nest. It doesn't make any sense. So Paul's using common sense in a lot of his instruction to Timothy. And he's saying these widows that would just waste the support, they don't fall under this. And be careful to make sure that that's what you instruct your people. Now, the 60 years old, people say, well, times change. That is, for that time, that was very old, actually, very old. And that meant that she was very much unable to go out and probably make her own food, pick up stones, do whatever people had to do to survive. She couldn't have a job. She was a very old woman. And he's just saying, 60 years old, when they're past that prime, when they can work, he says, just figure that in there. These are common sense law rules. They're just common sense rules. As for younger widows, and really, really listen to this. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. And I'm going to stop there. I'm going to say, rightly so. Why shouldn't a younger woman that gets widowed, why shouldn't she want to, at some point, remarry? I mean, it's very likely that she would want to. But listen what he says after that. Thus, sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ. See that? Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. And what is that first pledge? Was it to their first husband? Mm-mm. Their first pledge is to Jesus. That's what he's saying. Their first pledge as a woman, as any human being that's a believer, is to Jesus. So they break that pledge by not doing what he said. And now they're looking for another. They're doing whatever they... And the other things that he includes in here, are they help you understand that. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle. Idle hands are what? The devil's workshop. And going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry and to have children, to manage their homes, and give the enemy no opportunity for slander. If you're going to be in this situation, don't go running around town gossiping and getting involved in everybody else's business and spreading rumors and everything else. Mind your business. And God says that several times in Scripture. I mean, Jerry used to say the one about work with your hands, you know, and mind your own business. Well, that's basically what Paul's teaching Timothy. These women that aren't doing that, minding their own business and making things work for themselves, don't consider them. Don't consider them. That life needs to change. Paul's goal, remember what Paul's goal is? To get people to come to know Jesus. And if you're living a life that's not leading people to do that, it's a serious problem for the church. So, I counsel those younger widows to marry, have children, manage their homes, and give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. I love the way Scripture, especially the apostles and Jesus, wrote the word. Either you're for me or you're against me. It's not, there's no in between. You either are for me or you're against me. And if you're against me, you're evil. If you're for me, you're good. Because I'm good and you're a Satan follower. I hesitate sometimes to say that, because if you aren't following Jesus, you're following Satan. Isn't that, is there anybody else to follow? No. And Jesus made that clear. You either for me or you're against me. And why would anybody be against me? Because they don't want to follow Jesus. Younger widows would be more likely to have sensual desires. Scripture is clear about restraint outside of marriage. According to the things that are purely for self-satisfaction, avoid them. This is good advice for everyone, not just Timothy, but for everyone, everybody in the church. Godly women are obvious, and these are who Paul is described as worthy. Godly women. First Timothy 5:16, if any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. Quite self-explanatory. There are widows that are falling under the care of another woman in the church, or group of women or whatever. They did that back then, and they do that today. But there are women's groups that help other widows. They help widows. And he's just saying that if they're already in that situation, let it stay. Don't ruffle the feathers. If the widow assistance is adequate already, leave it alone. Just let it be. You don't have to even think about getting that involved in your own body of believers. Let it be. It may change, and when it changes, then you're willing to step in and do that. 17 through 21, the elders who direct the affairs of the church, well, are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses, but those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Jesus Christ and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and do nothing out of favoritism. The leadership of a body is to be respected. Okay? Whenever you have a big organization, the leadership should be respected. If there's no respect, you're not going to have that organization very long. Teachers and preachers are worthy of financial support. Depending on the circumstances, these leaders are worthy of honor and support. And if a teacher or preacher is already being supported by outside means, then I'm throwing this in, then the financial obligation should be adjusted accordingly. I'm up here teaching today, okay? Do I need your financial support? No. Do I want it? I don't need it. But I don't think any one of us that do this actually need financial support. But we're doing it because there's a need. And God said, fill that need when you're able. So that's what we're doing. And I'll stop and say this. Thank you very much. It was all of you who did it, but that little gift that you gave us at Christmas time, very much appreciated. It wasn't absolutely necessary, but it was appreciated, okay? Thank you for doing your service. That's what you were saying. And I appreciate that. So all of us did. But we don't need that. We didn't need that support. And what Paul's trying to talk to Timothy about is these guys that have devoted their life to teaching and preaching the word and guiding you as a body of believers deserve financial reward. More so than just thank you, okay? More so than saying you're really doing a good job and then walking away. No, they have needs too. And they've devoted their life to doing God's service for the church. They deserve to have financial reward. I threw this in, for it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Says this was written for us because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it even all the more? But we did not use this right. These are the disciples. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. They lived in poverty. The disciples lived in poverty. But they did it because the reward was from God. If working as a full-time preacher, that person is due financial support. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? Now, see, I'm one of those people that when I write a sentence, I wouldn't say, all the runners run. Aren't they all running? I mean, they're running. But he's got a point to prove here. All the runners run, but only the one gets the prize at the end of the race. Only one runner is ahead of all the rest. So they get the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer just beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I may myself may not be disqualified for the prize. It's amazing sometimes how things fit so perfect. And you know what? Today, January 8th, our daily bread. I'm going to read this. When my husband coached our son's Little League baseball team, he rewarded the players with an end-of-year party and acknowledged their improvement over the season. One of the youngest players, Dustin, approached me during the event. Didn't we lose the game today? Yes, I said, but we're proud of you. You did your best. I know, he said, but we lost, right? I nodded. Yeah, you did. Then why do I feel like a winner? He asked. Smiling, I said, because you are a winner. Jesus has made it very clear that if we run the race to win, we may not be number one, two, three, four, or five. But when we're standing in front of Jesus and God, the answer will be, you're a winner. You're a winner. Now, what we've gone through is speaking to the spiritual leaders and preachers and teachers, speaking of self-discipline, spiritual self-discipline. It includes training. Includes rewards, a crown designated for preachers and teachers. Could somebody just look up 1 Peter 5? And I think the first five verses, I didn't have that down. It just came to my mind a little bit ago. But I really like that passage. I should have memorized it, but I didn't. But the first five verses, I think, and read it nice and loud. Thank you very much. I hope you heard that. Because those guys like Timothy are going to receive a crown that we won't receive. We won't receive that crown. Timothy will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away, it says. Wow. He's done something with his life, dedicated it to Christ, and said, I'm dedicated. That's all I'm going to do. That deserves a crown, Jesus said, and you're going to get one. But we also have a reward, and I wrote it down here. Includes rewards, a crown designated for preachers and teachers. Work to not be hypocritical. Do what you can not to be a hypocrite. This is also wise instruction for each member of the body of believers with a reward of a crown of eternal life. Wow. Wow. That is so spectacular. I am reading my dear wife got me a new book for Christmas, and it's called Time and Again. If you get it, it's just a cool book, and it's about time travel. The more you know of me, you'll know that I love to study and learn time travel. And he travels back from around 50 in the late 50s, early 60s, back to 1880 New York, okay? He lives in New York in the present, but he travels back to 1880. And believe it or not, there were churches back then in New York, just as there are today. And that, as I read through that book of what he's experiencing in 1880, things don't change very often, very much, from year to year. What we see today is what they saw then. It's just different. Attitudes, love, hate, whatever it might be, it doesn't change. That song we sang today. Is God the same today as he was a million years ago? Or when Paul or Saul was thrown down off the horse? Is it the same God? Does he think any different than he did then? No. And where is it written? In God's word, his instruction for us. Paul's instruction to Timothy. Timothy, listen. This is how you need to handle your affairs in the church. If you do this, you're going to find success. You're going to find success. Father, your word is so full of instruction for us to find success. Paul, the most wonderful teacher next to you, was so obviously concerned for the lives of those who were going out beyond him and after him to work and teach and preach in the church of believers. And he gave great instruction from his experience and from your word. God, help us to take that instruction even into our personal lives so that we always represent you well, that people see that we respect them just because they're your creation, but we care for them and love them. And help us to always remember that you have asked us to go into the world and share the story of Jesus with everyone. Help us to do that, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.